Go ahead and put it up there. It was in October the 3rd, 1863. Our country was in a terrible civil war. Started in 1860, as many of you know. And then, of course, it wasn't concluded until probably a little over two years after this proclamation. In other writings, Abraham Lincoln talked about that he felt that God had allowed the Civil War to try to disturb, as it were, or get the attention, better said, of a people that had begun a nation founded for him. And where had it gone? Greed, and because America had been so blessed by God, factories, the Industrial Revolution was visiting us in a major way. Why would God allow such a horrific time? Because Abraham Lincoln believed that much of America was focused on the wrong thing. And of course, the greatest sin of all was slavery. So he decided, there's been many Thanksgiving proclamations from George Washington, actually the Pilgrims, all the way through. But this one especially established that a national observance of Thanksgiving would be on the third Thursday of the month of November. And it's a lot different then, as you'll see here in a minute, than it is now. Hit our next go button, if you would, Chris. There's Mr. Lincoln right there. And of course, there were no football games in his day. There were no, it was a very different place. And Blake is going to read to you every word of this Thanksgiving proclamation. And please listen for the heart of a president of these United States at one time, because he was well aware of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who's my people? Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their sin, I would hear from heaven. I would forgive them of their sin and I would heal their land. And listen if you don't hear the heart of a president with that very notion. If you would, Blake.
October the 3rd, 1863, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. The year that is drawing towards us is close, has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well as of iron and coal, as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father, who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Done at the city of Washington, this third day of October, in the year of our Lord, 1863, and of the independence of the United States, the 88th, by the President Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, Lord Jesus, has this nation, Lord, forgotten where we've come from? All the blessings, God, that you've given to us. Lord, how this nation has run after so often material things versus the eternal, God. And in our church tonight, Lord, here in Northern Nevada, we ask, oh God, oh, forgive us, oh God. Oh, forgive us, oh God. Oh, Lord, your mercy, God, poured out. Oh, in Jesus' name. Start with me, Lord God. Where have I been selfish? Even bugged because I'm not getting something that I think I need or deserve. And the Bible plainly says that for the righteous you will withhold no good thing. Forgive me, God. Please heal this land. Heal this land, O Lord. Heal this land, we pray, O Lord. Now, Blake, if you would you read for us out of the Gospel of John? You guys know it. We're thankful for so many things, right? Things that come immediately to mind, perhaps good health, if that's your occasion, family, a way to earn a living, the homes we live in, vehicles we drive, oh, our children, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we are blessed, oh, Lord. Oh, we are blessed, oh God. It all comes from you, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, we want to take time out and we want to remember what we are most thankful for. If you would, Blake.
John chapter 19. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then Pilate delivered him to them to be crucified. They took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' But he said, I am the king of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said, therefore, among themselves, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
Lord, I want to pray that every single one who is getting together, either at their own house or someone else's, Lord Jesus, that a great peace would exude from all the sons and daughters who call Harvest their home. Lord, whose authority, or maybe tent pegs, or however you describe it, Lord, this family that you supernaturally protect, I pray, Lord, against whatever the enemy has. That whole alcohol opens the door to so much weirdness. Don't let that happen, Lord, to any place where our family goes. Our prayer, Lord Jesus, is that our people, your sons and daughters, would be agencies of healing, Lord God. That they would be able to discern perhaps something beginning to brew, and then they would just call upon you, Lord. Pour out, oh God. Pour out, oh Lord, at that moment, in that time. And Lord, may our sons and daughters here at Harvest be agencies of your great healing. And everybody said, Amen.